You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football to the Max. I'm Randy Isbell. With me, as always, Mike Mitchell. And Mike, we're a day behind due to a few technical issues, but we're here. We get to talk about the Jets and Bills and how great my offense looks on my team. What did you think of that game last night?
I thought it was one of those games where neither team could really stop the other team from making big plays, and in the end, the Bills just wanted it less.
I don't know. I talked about it a lot on the Football to the Max podcast. Yes, the stats make it look like it was a closer game, and yes, the big plays still count, especially in fantasy, but I thought the Jets dominated most of that game. You look at both of the touchdowns that the Bills got before, you know, that last drive of the game, and both of them came on basically third and longs and then a deep pass for a touchdown. So I think the Bills offense looked suspect. Yes, the big plays all count the same, but I don't really think that, you know, the Jets couldn't stop them. They stopped them most of the game, but, you know, 170 some yards on two plays is definitely going to change the aspect of the stats.
Yeah, well, and the other thing was is Matt Forte really ran over the Bills last night too, and with his three touchdowns, he had a big game. And I had Matt Forte rated third this week in my running backs. Where did you have him ranked, Randy?
Not third.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I had him 10th. I still thought he was going to have a great game. I still thought the Bills' defense was going to be a bit better. Obviously, Rex Ryan has owned Ryan Fitzpatrick offenses, so I thought this was going to be a bit of a lower-scoring game. I also thought that the touches was going to go down, and I still think that's going to happen eventually. He's not going to have over 400 touches this season. I do think they get Powell more involved as the season goes along. But listen, three touchdowns, that last one, you know, an offensive lineman could have ran that touchdown. The hole was so big. So, but he looks great, and so does this whole offense. I brought up Quincy Enunwa last week, and he goes out there and catches all six targets for 92 yards. He leaves the game for a little bit. He has a little bit of a rib injury that he's dealing with, or his stats could be even greater. But with Brandon Marshall having a tweaked knee, which he came back from too, which I thought that was a season ender when he went down, but Quincy Enunwa, to me, is one of those top pickups, I think, when we come back to the beginning of next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to kind of wait and see what happens with Marshall. He did come back to the field after leaving the field on, a scary play. It did look pretty bad. And it's, you know, if Marshall would have went down, obviously Enunwa would have skyrocketed as far as his waiver wire availability and want. But I think that he's still opening up numbers, even with Marshall coming. We'll kind of have to wait and see if this lingers with Marshall or if he misses a game. You know, this was a short week for the Jets, so he's got those extra few days to rest and see how things go. But you never know with these kind of injuries. They could swell up. He could have some issues there. So, yeah, I think Enunwa's he's got a little bit more credibility now in the waivers.
Yeah, absolutely, and even if Marshall is healthy and ready to go, I like Enunwa. The Jets do not use their tight end in the passing game, so he is basically their tight end. But with that said, the schedule obviously is very brutal for the Jets coming up. They get a few extra days before they go to Arrowhead to play Kansas City. Then they host Seattle. Then they go to Pittsburgh before going to Arizona, before hosting Baltimore. It's not an easy schedule, but this offense has been able to play extremely well, so we'll see how they do against those tests as well. On the Buffalo side, Sammy Watkins, you know, obviously that ankle is still bothering him. Just two catches on the day. Doesn't play the last two drives of the game when it really matters. Marquise Goodwin completely bombs for a touchdown. Is he the new big play receiver with Sammy Watkins banged up?
Well, potentially. I mean, he got five targets, and he did have that one really big play. You know, he looks to me at this point kind of like a boom or bust guy. He had an 84-yard touchdown. His other catch was for 28 yards. There's a little bit of risk there, obviously, but we do know that Tyrod Taylor does like to throw the deep ball. And if Watkins can't stay healthy, they've got to find somebody else to go to. The other thing that was kind of noticeable, even though it was a lot of short plays, was Charles Clay getting seven targets. He only had 27 yards, but he got a lot of looks in that game from Tyrod Taylor, and might be somebody who could start moving up a little bit in his red zone production, I think, with getting the most targets on the team.
Yeah, we'll see how this offense changes as they the Bills have fired their offensive coordinator following the game. So we'll kind of see how things change. Tyrod Taylor has a great fantasy game. You know, the three touchdowns, two of them very long. But other than that, really did not look that impressive to me. I still don't like him going forward. He is also a boom or bust kind of player to me.
Well, three touchdowns, only one interception, just under 300 yards, another 25 on the ground. I mean, he gave you the production that you were hoping to get from him if you drafted him last night against a tough defense. So we've had one bad Tyrod Taylor, and we've had one good Tyrod Taylor as far as fantasy production. Yes, he does look questionable out there from time to time, but the numbers don't lie. He did put up good numbers last night, even if they weren't beautiful-looking creations of those numbers.
Had to go through the concussion protocol as well, but did come back and, again, put up the numbers, but you take away the two crazy long touchdown passes and that last drive where the Jets played super prevent defense, and it's like a 60-yard day for Taylor. But again, those count exactly the same, so I'm not taking that away from him. Let's get to the Sunday games, get to the previews, and let you guys know what we feel about all of the fantasy players as we get ready for a very busy weekend. And let's start with your Pittsburgh Steelers as they host the hated Cincinnati Bengals. I'll just start out, over or under 1.5 ejections in this game?
I'll take the under, and that's because Perfect won't be there. So, well, I will take the under because one of the most likely protagonists is not going to be on the field for this game. So we'll take the under, but it should be interesting. I saw where D'Angelo Williams stated that this is a game that is called professional hatred, was the term he used. So it's certainly a rivalry game, and it's trying to supplant the Steelers-Ravens rivalry a little bit as far as just how obnoxious it gets. But it'll be interesting to see just how this game goes down. And if it's a close game, we'll see if those Bengals have their maturity level raised up from last season and whether or not they can stay composed.
What kind of game do you expect from this rivalry? You look at back at the history, and they seem to go back and forth between a defensive struggle and an offensive slugfest. I kind of lean more towards the offensive slugfest in this game. Obviously, Andy Dalton has impressed me over the last two seasons. The Steelers' offense looked outstanding against the Redskins on Monday night. So I think points are going to be scored in bunches in this game. And I like a lot of the fantasy options in this game.
Yeah, I think you have to like him just because I don't think the Steelers' secondary is up to NFL quality as far as being average or above yet. So there's going to be some space there for Cincinnati to operate. A.J. Green has a history of doing well against the Steelers. Andy Dalton certainly showing that he is starting to mature into a upper half quarterback, if not even working his way into the top 10 as quarterbacks, if he can stay on the field. Just based on what he did last week and last season, he certainly got his arrow pointing up. On the Steelers' side, they find ways to score against a Cincinnati defense that's been pretty solid for a couple years now. And it's just one of these things where the teams are so familiar with each other, they kind of know where to attack each other and be successful. I expect this game to probably be 47 plus as far as points scored.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, with the Steelers, you're starting Big Ben, you're starting Williams, you're starting Antonio Brown. But my question to you is, what about Eli Rogers and Jesse James? How are you feeling about those two going into this matchup?
Well, Jesse James is kind of a plug-and-play guy. I'm not sure if I want to be starting him on a weekly basis. He's had a good matchup last week against the Redskins. I don't feel as good about the matchup this week. Obviously, Eli Rogers has potential. Again, we're still kind of waiting to see if Marcus Wheaton comes back or not. And again, if Wheaton is gone from this game as well, then that just elevates Eli Rogers' potential.
On the Bengals side, you know, Andy Dalton is one of those interesting plays for me as far as quarterbacks go. Maybe we can do a little rankings look here in a second with him. You start A.J. Green, of course. I'm unsure whether I want to start either of the running backs. I would try to stay away. The Steelers do have a good run defense. Yes, I mean, they're one example so far was the Washington Redskins, who are allergic to a running game. But I think, you know, especially running between the tackles will be tough for Jeremy Hill. Maybe Bernard plays a bit better in the passing game. But I tend to stay away. Are you starting anyone else on the Bengals?
I think, you know, A.J. Green is your obvious, and I think, of course, Andy Dalton could be a good matchup here against that Steelers secondary. As far as the running backs go, Jeremy Hill has a history of not doing very well against the Steelers, including the fumble that turned the game around after the Steelers coughed it up in the fourth quarter last season. I personally feel that Giovanni Bernard is going to outperform Jeremy Hill in this game, and it's just because of their styles. The Steelers are a good rushing defense. That's one thing that they've always been good at stopping those guys that like to run between the tackles. Where they seem to have difficulty is with stopping the guys that are the little short dump-off plays, and that's where Giovanni Bernard excels. So I actually feel like if you had to pick between the two, I would prefer Bernard myself.
Yeah, I think Bernard has more yardage in this game. I have Hill ranked higher based on, you know, touchdown scores more points, and Hill could find a way to get that 1 or 2 yard touchdown run in there. Eifert not playing for the Bengals. Who's taking his spot at the tight end position, in your opinion?
Well, it's between Croft and Uzomah, and last week Uzomah got most of the targets. Croft was basically, well, he was nearly absent. He's been dealing with some injury concerns. I think Uzomah is a sneaky play this week because the Steelers are terrible against the tight end.
But you really wouldn't play Uzomah, would you?
Well, I would put him maybe inside the top 20, but I would like to think somebody might have a better option. But he's just one of those sneaky plays that I feel like might actually get a score in this game.
How confident are you?
I would take one of those Cincinnati tight ends to finish in the top 20 this week.
Well, I would say no. I don't think. I mean, unless Eifert somehow comes back, I absolutely don't think that a Bengals tight end will finish in the top 20.
Well, there's no better team for them to finish in the top 20 against than the Steelers. So I would make a You Betcha challenge that one of those Cincinnati backup tight ends is going to finish in the top 20 this week.
Well, then I accept your challenge, because I don't think they will finish in the top 20.
Challenge accepted.
All right, real quick, Pigskin, pick 'em, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. I will take the Steelers.
I am also taking the Steelers.
All right, next game on the docket, the Tennessee Titans and the Detroit Lions. Another game to me that just screams shootout. I would start Stafford. I would think about starting Mariota, even though I don't think I would. It's a good matchup for him. The Lions' defense did not look good against the Saints last week. The Colts last week. I'm getting teams mixed up in my head now. I actually like the running backs for Detroit. I would probably start either of them in the flex position. They both looked amazing in the passing game. And I think they can do kind of the same thing here. What do you think?
Well, I'm not 100% sold on the running backs from a rushing perspective, but you're right as far as their receiving ability. I think that's where they could actually hurt the Titans. The Titans' rushing defense is actually pretty solid. They shut down Peterson last week, and I think that they may be putting Detroit into more of a passing situation, which I think favors both Riddick and Abdullah. As far as picking which one of those two, it's kind of a tough call. Riddick's one of the best receiving backs out of the backfield. I don't expect either of these guys to have maybe more than 60 yards rushing, but I do think that they're going to get a lot of opportunities on swing passes.
If you had to choose one receiver for the Lions to play this week, who would it be?
Well, I am feeling as though it's between Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, obviously. And Jones had 10 targets last week. Tate had 7. So it would be kind of interesting. But I'm going to say Golden Tate gets more looks this week just because I think maybe he said, hey, you know, don't forget about me. So we'll see. You know, he caught 7 of his 7 targets, where Marvin Jones only caught 4 of his 10. So I'll take Golden Tate.
Yeah, I don't think I can disagree there. Also, I like Eric Ebron in this matchup. He was one of the more favored tight ends on the waiver wire. I would put him in your lineup this week.
Yeah, I agree. He's got some opportunities for sure against the Titans.
On the Titans side, Tajae Sharpe looked great in his first game. Was the main target for Mariota. 11 targets, 7 receptions last week. I'm starting him here this week, along with, of course, DeMarco Murray. Anyone else that you're playing here? Are you taking a risk on Andre Johnson at all?
No, I can't take a risk on Andre Johnson. I mean, even after last season, he's a nice veteran presence, which is great for those two guys. Just looking at it from having a mentor there, I think Andre Johnson is going to be great for a Tajae Sharpe. I do think Delanie Walker has a big game. I feel obviously really good about him. Tajae Sharpe looked pretty good. I mean, he had 11 targets. He led the team in targets by considerably, although Andre Johnson did get 7 looks. But I just feel like Andre Johnson is kind of on his way out of the league. Rishard Matthews just didn't get enough looks for me to have him fantasy relevant yet. We'll see what happens down the line. So, yeah, just Tajay, Delanie, and maybe Mariota if you have to.
All right. Pick 'em, Tennessee or Detroit?
I am taking Detroit.
I am as well. How about the other AFC North matchup this week, the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns? Obviously, RG3 down for a while. McCown comes in. We talked about it on the last podcast of how this is going to help Gary Barnage. It might hurt Coleman a little bit, as I think the deep passes won't be there as much. On the Baltimore side, start everybody in the passing game. The Cleveland defense is terrible. I actually like Flacco a lot this week.
Yeah, I think if Carson Wentz could light him up, then why wouldn't you think that a veteran like Joe Flacco, who sees them twice a season, couldn't do it? And even though they didn't score a lot last week, you know, they had some pretty big plays. Yeah, guys like Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, those guys, I can't see them not having the opportunity to have another big game this week. Although Steve Smith didn't have a big game last week, but he had a lot of looks. I think like he might be one of those guys that could break out this week and put up some good numbers. And Mike Wallace is always a home run threat, and Cleveland is always good at giving up home runs.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me clarify, when I say start everyone on Baltimore, that means everybody except for the running backs. I'm still staying away from that. Maybe we see Terrence West get a touchdown against his former team, but I just don't see it there. But Wallace is an interesting play. Steve Smith always puts out production. Kamar Aiken had a rough first week, but again, that Cleveland defense is so bad, I think he bounces back here. Baltimore or Cleveland, Pigskin, pick 'em. I'm taking the Ravens.
I am also taking the Ravens.
And go back to another shootout here, NFC East battle, the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. Last week, the Cowboys had trouble getting into the end zone, settled for way too many field goals. The Redskins struggled a bit to get going against the Steelers, but got some junk time. How are you seeing this game fantasy-wise?
I think there's some opportunities in this game for both sides, really. I think Washington's defense got exposed last week, which I think will actually favor Dallas a little bit more. D'Angelo Williams ran all over Washington, and they threw all over Washington. I don't know if Dak Prescott is going to be able to throw all over Washington necessarily, but I do feel like Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a much better second game. I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities for him in this game. He did get 20 carries last week. I don't see that number going down, and I'm guessing, I'm just going to, just a hunch here, I haven't actually heard anything, but we both know how much Dez Bryant likes to talk, and I've got to figure he has been in Dak Prescott's ear, and anyone else who will listen to him after only getting one catch for 8 yards last week. This feels like one of those games where Dak Prescott goes out of his way to try and get the ball to Bryant more.
Yeah, and that's what I'm worried about with this Cowboys team this week. Yes, I agree with you. I think Elliott has a great game. The Redskins' rushing attack or defense, not that great. But I do think they bounce back in the secondary. Listen, Breland got completely exposed by Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown is going to do that against almost any cornerback. Josh Norman did better against him, but he plays on one side of the field. I think that actually works better for them this week, as I just think Dez Bryant is a little off to start this season. I don't think it's just because of Dak Prescott. I think, you know, Dez Bryant needs to do a better job of getting open, but I agree with you. I think he's going to be in his ear saying, get me the ball, which with a young quarterback, he may try to force it into the loud veteran wide receiver and make some mistakes. I'm a little worried on the passing game, to be honest.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I mean, it's going to be hard for a rookie like Dak Prescott to not listen to a veteran like Dez Bryant, who does like to chirp. And Dez, I'm certain, is going to, you know, kind of take things personal when he only has one catch for 8 yards. And I would not be shocked at all if Prescott does try to force the ball to him a little bit. But, you know, let's just say this, though. Barring Dez Bryant being slowed by injury, he is still one of the best wide receivers in the game. So I can't say that he doesn't deserve more opportunities than he got.
No, absolutely. I think you're starting Jason Witten here. He seems to be a favorite target of Prescott. Would you play Cole Beasley this week?
I don't think I would. I know he got a lot of looks and he got 12 targets, but why? Again, I mean, we're thinking here that Beasley got those targets because Dez didn't. I think Dallas is probably going to tell Prescott stay away from Norman as much as possible. So, you know, if Norman sticks to Bryant, which that's still on, then maybe a Cole Beasley does get more looks because, you know, they're going to try and avoid him, especially with the rookie quarterback. So that would be the consideration, is do we hear something between now and game time that Josh Norman is going to stick on Dez Bryant? And even if he does, Dez Bryant's going to take that personal, too, and he's going to say, hey, look for me anyway. I want to beat this guy.
Well, Norman is not a matchups cornerback. He likes to play the one side of the field. So
that is true.
It'll be interesting to see how Dallas game plans around that.
That is true, but yeah, the Redskins took a lot of flack last week for not having Norman take Antonio mm-hmm. Brown, and I understand Norman prefers to play one side, but the Steelers just put Brown on the other side. So, you know, if you're going to pay a guy that much money to be a shutdown corner, then you probably should play him more like a shutdown corner instead of shutting down one side. If you leave Antonio Brown on second and third string cornerbacks, well, you saw last week what happens. So,
yeah. Honestly, I think it's they were higher on Breland and thought that he could be up for the task. And again, Antonio Brown is just so good, it doesn't matter. On the Washington side of the ball, Kirk Cousins had a lot of junk time, you know, to get over 300 yards. I don't think he needs junk time this time. I think he has a great game against that Cowboys secondary. I think he throws a few touchdowns in this game as well. I also love DeSean Jackson in this game. But I really think it's going to be more of a split. I think Jameson Crowder, who got 10 targets last game, is going to be in the mix. Pierre Garçon is going to be in the mix as well. I actually like Chris Thompson as a sneaky flex play in deeper leagues, especially in PPR. You know, only 2 catches last week, but against the Cowboys, look for him to get a few dump-offs, as once again, the running attack is just non-existent. So they will find a way to try to get him the ball in open space.
Yeah, that's very possible, and it should also be mentioned, you know, DeSean Jackson usually has huge games against Dallas. I think he has a chance to actually crack the top 10 this week. It's one of those sneaky plays where you've got a guy that, for whatever reason, we can't always explain it. Same thing happens in baseball, but for whatever reason, a guy does really well against a certain team. That's DeSean Jackson versus the Cowboys. And I agree, Jameson Crowder might be worth looking at. Jordan Reed certainly should be in your lineup. And we'll just kind of have to wait and see what washes out in that backfield for the Redskins, because, you know, the carries, Matt Jones only had 7 carries last week. Chris Thompson only had 4 against the Steelers. Granted, the Steelers are very good at stopping the run, and they did put the Redskins, you know, behind in the second half, kind of made them one-dimensional. But this will be a game where the Redskins may try and be a little bit more balanced. They might have more success running against the Cowboys. So it'll be interesting to see how those carries split out this week.
Pigskin, pick 'em, Dallas or Washington, give me the home team. Give me the Redskins.
I am also taking the Redskins.
All right, in another game that could be a shootout, I'm saying this a lot, so we're going to have record low numbers on offense this week. The New Orleans Saints and the New York Giants. Drew Brees looked amazing against the Raiders last week. Eli Manning picked apart Dallas. I love Eli Manning against that awful secondary of the Saints. He is, I believe, my number one quarterback in the rankings this week. I just think he's going to torch up the big receivers that they have. Look for Beckham to have a big game. I would start Shepard. I would think about starting Cruz as well. Larry Donnell is a great tight end option. I think a ton of points are going to be scored here, and a lot of it through the air.
Absolutely. I have Manning 3rd on mine. I have Drew Brees 2nd. I believe you're 1st and 3rd, respectively. Yes. So we definitely like this quarterback matchup. And I mean, let's face it, if anybody remembers last season, those two guys combined for a ton of points. It was an all-time great shootout. I don't see any reason to believe it's going to be anything other than a shootout this time around. It might not quite get to the numbers they put up last season, but this is a game where you're going to want to have as many of these guys in your lineup as you can find.
Absolutely. And the same thing for the Saints. Obviously, you're starting Breeze. You're starting Willie Snead, who is absolutely phenomenal last time. Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas. And all of the usual suspects here you're going to start. I don't think we can really add anything other than, you know, start the great players on both these teams. They're going to do extremely well. Let's get right to the pigskin. Pick 'em, Saints or Giants?
I am taking the Saints in this game. It's kind of my upset of the week.
I mean, I can understand it in shootouts, anything can happen, but I will go with the New York Giants. How about the San Francisco 49ers and the Carolina Panthers? The Panthers get 4 days extra rest, and San Francisco has to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast. Really, there's one question here. Can Carlos Hyde come anywhere near what he did against the Rams week one?
Well, I would initially say no, but then again, we saw what C.J. Anderson did to Carolina last week, and that was kind of a surprise. But this game just feels like one of those types of games where the Niners played over their head last week. Carolina is not happy with what happened in Denver, and I think you're going to have an angry Panthers team at home for their home opener against a 49ers team that probably isn't as good as they looked last week, and I think it's going to show in the long run. I think you probably have to start Hyde. Most teams might be in one of those situations, but I would certainly temper expectations against that Panthers defense.
The only other player for the 49ers I'm interested in, and it's more of a let's see if this is the real deal, is Jeremy Curley. Led the team by far in targets and receptions, especially because I think this game will get out of hand quickly. Let's see what kind of junk time there is, but I want to see if Curley continues to out-target Torrey Smith and see if he is the main guy for Gabbert and should be rostered or not.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, 11 targets, that's a lot of targets, but let's not take away from the fact that Denver has some pretty good corners, you know, with the Aqib Talib, and I think that there's a chance that, you know, things were, I shouldn't say Denver, I mean, the Rams, the way they set it, their defense was kind of designed to take away the big play from Torrey Smith, and I think Gabbert went around that a little bit. We'll kind of have to see what happens here, but one of those two guys I have to think is going to get some good quality garbage time, but do you really want to take that chance and guess which one it's going to be?
No, absolutely. I would not start either of them in this game. It's more of a maybe that's just how the 49ers are going to run their offense. It's a new, you know, obviously Chip Kelly situation. Maybe, you know, they use Torrey Smith to get the safety away and dump it off to Jeremy Curley. All of those points will start adding up, especially in PPR. But again, I want to kind of see how that works after 1 week. I don't want to overreact. On the Carolina side of the ball, how far down the receiving core do you have to go down before you go, okay, I'm not starting him?
Well, that kind of depends on who your wide receivers are, but I think there's one guy on that team that you have to certainly consider starting after the week you had last week, and that's Kelvin Benjamin. Oh, yeah. 12 targets, 91 yards, and a touchdown. That guy should be starting for you, and this should be a dynamite situation for Kelvin Benjamin this week.
Yeah, I like Benjamin. I like Olsen. I like Funchess to have a bounce-back game. Ted Ginn Jr. is always one of those players that could have a big play in him as well. Pixie and Pickham, I think it's pretty obvious. I think Carolina rolls.
I am agreeing.
All right, let's move on to a very interesting matchup, the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. You know, Garoppolo looked extremely well against Arizona on the road, but Miami really did a great job of shutting down Russell Wilson and those Seahawks over there in the Northwest as well. That defense is nothing to take lightly, and they love to play New England. Are you worried about the offense taking a step back for the Patriots against a tough Dolphins team?
I'm not sure how worried I am. This feels to me, and I even ranked it accordingly, this feels to me like one of those games where they're going to give Blount a ton of carries and just try and run Miami over. And that's why I have him rated so high this week. I feel like Garoppolo will... I thought Garoppolo looked really good last week, to be honest with you, against a pretty good Cardinals defense. I think that New England coming home for their home opener, Miami's got a lot of question marks coming into this game. We'll have to see what happens with Arian Foster. He could be a guy to look at. I don't think New England is going to take too many steps back. I expect them to try and do the same things they did last week with maybe a little bit more emphasis on LeGarrette Blount and his carries.
It's just going to be interesting. Thomas Rawls did not run that well against the Dolphins. Michael, a bit of a speedier guy, was able to have a little bit more production. But really, this Dolphins defense, I really think, is for real. The offense is what really holds them back. And that's why I have Blount so low in my rankings. And it just kind of looking at it and looking at our rankings on W2Mnet.com, you can definitely check them out there. I've noticed that, as you said, you had him 7th, and you're down on your boy D'Angelo Williams, who I think could have a big game against the Bengals. So you know what? I want to throw that You Betcha challenge out there. I will take your D'Angelo Williams, and I will give you LeGarrette Blount, if you will.
Well, I know that sounds crazy for me to take that. I do have D'Angelo Williams in my top 15, but I have Blount in my top 10. I will actually take that just because I think I have a pretty good idea on the styles that each team wants to try and execute. So I accept your You Betcha challenge. Challenge
accepted. On the Dolphins side of the ball, as you said, Foster's an interesting play. He did participate in practice and looks like he will be good to go. I might play him in the flex position, mainly because of the receiving yards that he seems to get. It seems to work out with Tannehill. I don't think I'm starting anyone else, though.
I could see where you might consider playing a Jarvis Landry this week. He had 10 targets last week, 59 yards, 7 catches. Those aren't huge numbers, but I feel like this could be one of those games where Miami's going to have to throw again, and he could be one of those sneaky plays. So I think if I was going to look at somebody, I'll take a guy who got double-digit targets and twice as many as the next highest targets on that team.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a name I did forget, so good call on you there. Miami, New England, pigskin pick 'em. I'm taking the Patriots.
Yeah, I probably have to say that every game this year.
Awful. Next game, Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans. Osweiler looked pretty decent in his opener. I still don't believe in it. But Will Fuller, an interesting name for Houston, as he had a wonderful season opener. Do you think he can do that against a tough Chiefs defense?
Well, it's very possible. Last week, how tough did that Chiefs defense really look? I mean, they gave up 388 yards. They got ran on for 155. Rivers put up 243 passing, which is not great. But, you know, if they can't stop the run, then that's going to create some serious problems for them. And Lamar Miller is a heck of a running back. So I would not be shocked at all if Will Fuller is legit with the 11 targets. And there's a chance here that Kansas City's defense, maybe we overrated them a little bit. I know it's only 1 week, but at home against a San Diego team, I expected a lot more from that defense.
Yeah, and the defense is a little bit banged up coming into the season as well. I love Lamar Miller in this game. As you said, the running attack is what really fuels this offense. So I like him. I like Will Fuller in this game. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins you're playing as well. On the Kansas City side of the ball, once again, it does not look like Jamaal Charles is going to go. So Spencer Ware is your guy, right?
I think so. There's no other way to look at it. It'll be interesting to see if Ware can get some traction against that front seven of Houston. But we know for a fact that Kansas City loves the ball. So I would certainly be starting Ware if he was on my team.
If you had noticed your injury reports, or like a lot of fantasies will say, you know, day-to-day and this kind of stuff, Jeremy Maclin, it was shown as missing practice on Thursday. It was due to a personal issue. It had nothing to do with injuries. He will be good to go on Sunday. So if you're a little worried about why he missed practice on Thursday, don't be. I think he will be just fine against a tough Texans defense. Who you got in this game, Kansas City or Houston?
I am taking... Who did I take? I am taking Kansas City.
Actually, I'm double-checking myself now because I really think this is going to be an interesting game. I want to take Kansas City, and I didn't. I took Houston.
Who did I take?
I forget. I'm not, had to send it my picks to Sean due to me not being able to get the stuff out. You took the Chiefs. Okay. I go back through our message history.
All right. Well, you're getting old, so we understand that it's hard for you to remember.
It happens to everybody. All right. How about the Seattle Seahawks against the Los Angeles Rams in their home debut, first time playing in Los Angeles in a game that matters since the 90s. And what a way to start. Yes, they play Seattle extremely tough. I can't see it. They look so lost out there against the 49ers. And this just in, Jared Goff has been named the backup quarterback this week, so people can stop freaking out that he's the third string. He is moving on up. But that offense looks really rough. I'd be scared to start Todd Gurley, but I think you kind of have to. Everyone else I'm completely avoiding. On the Seattle side, I'd be really nervous to start Russell Wilson with that ankle injury. But again, if you have him on your team, you're not going to have that many more great options. And that kind of goes for the rest of the Seattle offensive weapons. You know, they could really break out and just completely dominate the Rams, or Wilson could not be himself. That Rams defense is actually good, even though they didn't show it on Monday. And they could shut them down. So I'm most likely starting my stars for the Seahawks, but I would be worried.
I think you have to be worried. And Thomas Rawls has been declared the starter for this game, too. So there's a lot of cloudiness as far as who to go with at the running game. We know he's starting. How much action will he actually get? Will they be similar to last week where it was Christine Michael with 15 carries and Rawls with 12? There's a chance that might flip-flop, but I think each guy is kind of holding the other guy back as far as being somebody that you can really depend on at the running position. You know, in this game, this feels like one of those games where a Doug Baldwin or a Tyler Lockett even could make a big play and become relevant. But I agree. It just reeks of defensive struggle, similar to what Seattle faced last week against the Dolphins.
Absolutely. The only thing that I know for certain is Gary's choice of Christine Michael being the number one running back this week will not happen.
Well, we can't prove that, but he's got to beat... He's got to beat Forte, who is looking pretty solid right now with 26 or 27, whatever he had, 29. So, yeah, I don't think I like that so much. And, I think, again, because we do these ratings before everybody else does, just to give people an idea, I think what Gary was trying to get at is that he feels that the Seattle running game is going to have a good game against the Rams.
He feels Seattle is going to have a good game. And you know, I respect his opinion, and we'll see how it goes. He talked about it on the fantasy or the football podcast last night, how he thinks Seattle is just going to completely roll in this game. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but I will take the Seahawks and pick them.
Yeah, I'm certain it's going to be closer just because that's the way these two teams have played each other, but I am also taking the Seahawks because I have no faith in the quarterbacks of the Rams right now.
All right, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Arizona Cardinals? Is there any way Jameis Winston repeats what he did in week one?
I don't think he puts up that big of numbers, but I do think that this game could be a sneaky shootout. I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona, after the debacle that was losing that game to the Patriots last week, they should be playing with a lot of fire. I think that could put Tampa Bay, who's going from East Coast to West Coast, could put them in a hole. And this has one of those junk time kind of feels to it where Winston could put up some really good numbers in the fourth quarter of that game to make a pretty good fantasy game out of it. But I don't expect a lot from them in the first half.
You did not rank John Brown in the wide receiver rankings. Any reason why, or just don't think he's going to get that big play?
I'm mad at him after last week because he's supposed to be the best guy every week, and we're working with limited information. information right now. We've 1 week as far as who is going to be the guy. So for right now, I'll roll with Fitzgerald because he was the guy last week, and we'll see if somebody somehow does emerge in that grouping. Even though I do feel like it's going to even out, I think we kind of have to base our rankings on 1 week and go forward from that.
Fantasy players, be warned. If Mike picks you in a You Betcha challenge and you do not perform, you will not be ranked the next week.
That's right. You get an NR.
I think your usual suspects here, your Martins, your David Johnsons, Evans, Fitzgerald, Floyd, I think you're starting your usual suspects here. Anyone jump out at you that would be surprising?
I don't think so, unless the only possibility here is if the Cardinals do get a big lead and maybe a Chris Johnson comes in relief of David Johnson and gets some sneaky second half work. But I don't feel like that's worth taking a risk.
The one sneaky play I have, maybe not play him, but just a name to keep an eye out on, is Austin Severian Jenkins. Still waiting for him to really break out as a tight end. He does have the one big 30-yard touchdown pass, but that was it last week. I would like to see him get a bit more work, but he's one of those tight ends I'm targeting on the waiver wire as a backup.
Well, there's certainly some chance. I wasn't really that impressed with how many looks he got. He did have the one big play, but that one big play was the only target he got in the game. So that is concerning to me, one target. So maybe keep an eye on him, but I don't know if I want to take a risk on him just yet.
Pigskin pick-up, Tampa Bay or Arizona, give me the Cardinals to bounce back.
And I will double down on that.
Jacksonville Jaguars, San Diego Chargers. Now, the Chargers looked awesome in that first half against the Chiefs. Now they go up against a Jaguars team who put, you know, Green Bay to the test last week. I think Jacksonville is extremely improved. I think that defense is going to make life a little bit harder for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. No Chris Ivory again this week, as he is still dealing with whatever ailment put him in the hospital early Sunday. They're still keeping that close to the chest. You know, obviously no Keenan Allen for San Diego, so what are we expecting here for the Chargers receiving game? Are you thinking Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams here?
I think Travis Benjamin definitely will take an uptick, and I think, yeah, Tyrell Williams has to also, since he's going to be filling that void. Phillip Rivers still loves to throw the ball, even without Keenan Allen, which is a terrible loss for San Diego. But this game is tricky because you have, again, an East Coast team traveling to a West Coast team. I like the Jaguars in this game, but this game could kind of go either way. It could be a shootout. On paper, you almost want to think it's going to be a shootout. But then again, San Diego played Kansas City really well until they melted down in the fourth quarter last week. So this is kind of a take everything with a grain of salt game. But I think all the major names are still going to be starting if you are on the Jacksonville side. I would lean towards Jacksonville winning this game and being able to put up some good numbers, but just be cautious.
Yeah, and I still lean Woodhead over Gordon. You know, obviously Gordon had the two touchdowns in week one, but really was non-existent in the second half when the game got closer. I do think this is a closer game, so see Woodhead out there a bit more to be more of the passing threat. And TJ Yeldon did not impress me against the Packers, so I think I am benching him this week, even though he will get the start once again for the Jaguars.
Yeah, you could do that. I'm not 100% sure if that's necessarily going to be the best way to go, just based on Spencer Ware's production against San Diego last week. However, I agree, Yeldon did not look good against Green Bay, but Green Bay has a pretty good front seven, too. They're a good rushing defense. Yeldon is kind of the yellow light for me. Take caution. He did not look good last week. However, this is a good matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Jaguars and Chargers, pigskin pick 'em. I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I am also. So taking the Jag.
All right, an interesting game here. The Atlanta Falcons and the Oakland Raiders. Another game that I put in that shootout category.
It certainly could be a shootout, and a lot of that is just because of how good the Raiders have become on offense. That team has come a long ways from where they were a few years back. Derek Carr is now maturing, and he's got a go-to receiver in Amari Cooper. And Latavius Murray has looked pretty good, and we're still in the first half of the season for Latavius Murray, so that's great. Cooper's numbers last week against New Orleans, granted it's against New Orleans, 6 catches for 137 yards is tremendous production. And, you know, Carr spread the ball around to a lot of different guys last week, and it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of that same thing this week.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw Winston beat up this Atlanta secondary. I think Carr does the same. He's actually a top five quarterback this week for me, as I think, yes, he was able to pick apart a terrible Saints secondary, but I don't think the Falcons secondary is much better.
I think it's a little bit better, and I think that Atlanta has more potential to be a little bit more balanced as far as an offense this week, especially being on the road. I think they're going to try and establish the run a little bit more. But yeah, I still think that I have Carr in my top 10. I think that Oakland is going to try and run the ball a little bit more this week as well.
On the Atlanta side of the ball, I'm curious, you did not have Matt Ryan ranked at all. I thought he looked pretty good against Tampa Bay last week, now going up against the Oakland Raiders, who, yes, Drew Brees is amazing, but they let him throw all over the place. I kind of like Matt Ryan, especially in two quarterback leagues here, putting up some decent numbers.
It's possible, but it is a road opener, and again, I feel like Atlanta is going to try and establish the run a little bit more here. So I did drop Matt Ryan down, and we'll see. I mean, I could be completely wrong here, but it just feels like one of those games where they're going to try and figure out that running game and try and establish it a little bit more than they did previously.
Yeah, they might try to establish the running game, but I still think Devontae Freeman was a one-half-season wonder and is showing that, you know, he just doesn't really have it. How about this? I'll give you a few extra rankings since you didn't put him in the top 20. I'll say Matt Ryan is a top 18 quarterback this week, if you want to accept that challenge.
That is very possible. However, I can't go against my own rankings, so I will accept your challenge.
Challenge accepted. Look at all these challenges I'm winning here. Wonderful. I think just with the balance of offense with Sanu and Jones, I like Matt Ryan here. But I think this is a complete shootout, and that's why I love Derek Carr over on the Oakland side. Yes, they might try to run the ball a bit more, but with Cooper and Crabtree, Clive Walford is kind of becoming a decent tight end option as well. This could be a first one over 30 wins this game.
It's very possible, but we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. It's a tricky game. It really is. I do feel like Atlanta's going to try and find themselves a little bit more in this game, so that's what I'm waiting to see.
So some interesting decisions fantasy owners might have to make here with a Derek Carr, as he was drafted in that second tier of quarterback, as we've talked about many times on this podcast. And a lot of them actually have really good matchups. So just to kind of go through them, would you rather start Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins?
This week I have Kirk Cousins rated higher, and it's just because I feel like Dallas' secondary is worse.
I like Derek Carr in that matchup, but it's really close. I have Carr 5th and Cousins 6th, so it's a very interesting pick there. How about Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford?
I like Matthew Stafford in this one. I have him in my top 5 this week. I love the matchup, and it's their home opener, and I feel like Stafford is going to put up a big score this week.
Yeah, I actually have Stafford 9th, so we kind of flopped those two. But just plenty of options, really.
Well, I'm curious. since flip-flopped. How about this? I'll take Matthew Stafford to have a better game this week than Derek Carr in fantasy, and that's a You Betcha challenge.
That's a very difficult You Betcha challenge, but we are flip-flopped. I don't think you can go wrong with either one, but again, you know, this is one of those decisions I think a lot of fantasy owners are going to have to make. Who are you going to start, Stafford or Carr? I will take Carr, and that is a You Betcha challenge. All right, well, let's get right into the pigskin pick'em here. Falcons or Raiders? Give me the Raiders at home.
I am also taking the Raiders.
All right, Colts and Broncos, offense versus defense. Two questions. Is Luck going to struggle against the Broncos defense? And will Simeon look like a better fantasy option against a weak Colts defense?
Yes on both, and I'll tell you why. For one thing, we saw Cam Newton struggle last week against that Broncos defense, and Cam Newton has a better offensive line than Indianapolis has. And I am worried for Luck surviving this game, to be honest with you. And I'm actually not even – I'm starting Matthew Stafford over Andrew Luck this week on my fantasy team. That's how sure I am that Luck is going to have some trouble. And that's just because that Denver defense is absolutely legitimate, especially at home, and that's exactly where we will find them this week. As far as Simeon goes, let's face it, you or I could be out there in the backfield in the secondary for Indianapolis right now. They have nobody. Everybody is hurt. They're just completely beat up on the back end. If Simeon's going to have a big game, this would be the week to have it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you on Andrew Luck. I ranked him 12th. You ranked him all the way down to 20th, but I totally get where you're coming from as far as possibly not even finishing the game. He does have the injury history. That offensive line is terrible. Denver is going to bring the heat. So totally understand why you ranked him where you did. I think Frank Gore struggles still this week. I think much better days are ahead for him. I love C.J. Anderson in this matchup. Yes, Simeon will look like a better quarterback against a terrible Colts offense, or excuse me, terrible Colts defense, rather, but I really still think that they're really going to lean on C.J. Anderson.
Absolutely. This is a great play for C.J. Anderson this week, and when you factor in that whole rookie quarterback thing. I mean, you and I both have C.J. Anderson ranked second this week. So we both love this matchup. And the only reason that I have Luck rated so low is because not only just because of the defensive thing, but I also feel like Denver is just going to try and run, control the ball this game. And I feel like Luck's probably going to commit a turnover or two along the ways because of that pressure. And with Denver trying to take the air out of the ball, I don't think Denver's offense is explosive enough with Simeon to really blow anybody out. But this kind of just has one of those 17-10 kind of feel games. Even though you would think with some of those offensive weapons it might not go that way, Denver's defense has looked that good.
Yeah, I think Denver can score a little bit more than that. I do think that they are by far the better team. So let's get right to it. Pitch and pick them. I'm taking Denver.
I am also taking Denver.
Sunday Night Football, a huge NFC North matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings debuting their brand new stadium. Mike Zimmer not telling anyone, not even his own team, who his starting quarterback is going to be. I'm guessing it's Sam Bradford, but honestly, it doesn't matter to me. You're still starting Peterson, but hesitantly. You're still starting Stephon Diggs, I think. Maybe a Kyle Rudolph. But other than that, the Vikings offense is a mess.
Well, it is a mess, and it's a mess because of their quarterback situation. I am curious to see if Sam Bradford comes in, just because I do think he is a better quarterback than Sean Hill, which isn't saying a whole lot. But if he does start, he's still going to be – it's going to be his first week with a new team, and there are certainly expectations of struggling there. And let's face it, Sam Bradford is an average quarterback. So you've got an average quarterback starting against a good defense in a rivalry matchup, division game. It just feels really scary – from the receiving game game. I think Adrian is going to have a lot of work in this game because I don't think they're going to have a lot of choice but to give him the ball a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only thing they can hope for is either quarterback is able to get a few passes down the field and open up the running game a little bit. He had just nowhere to run last week against Tennessee. On the Green Bay side, they do play a very, very tough Minnesota defense who really shut down Tennessee, especially in the second half. I'm a little down on Eddie Lacy this week because of it, but I do like a lot of the receivers. But I do think it'll be a bit more balanced. I see this as a very low-scoring game, so don't expect a ton of touchdowns, but I'm pretty sure I'd still be starting Nelson and Cobb for sure.
Well, you know, Rodgers last week only threw for 199 yards, which is very un-Rodgers-like. I would not be shocked at all if Rodgers still manages to throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns this week. I still feel like he knows Minnesota well enough, and that is enough for me. And I feel like because Minnesota is not going to be able to dictate on offense what they want to do in order to keep the ball away from Green Bay, let's face it, Aaron Rodgers is not Marcus Mariota. So I expect Rodgers to actually have a good game here. Maybe not a great game, but a good game. So I am still feeling good about a Jordy Nelson and a Randall Cobb. I agree with you on Eddie Lacy. I think Minnesota's running defense is pretty solid. This could be one of those games where a guy like a James Stark sneaks up and bites him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Picks and pick 'em. I'm taking Green Bay. They've owned this series at 10-2-1 record since 2010. The Minnesota defense is great, but I don't see Aaron Rodgers allowing two easy touchdowns against him. So give me the Packers.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers too, just because Minnesota's quarterback situation is who knows.
Yeah, speaking of quarterback situations, Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears. Carson Wentz looked amazing against the AA Cleveland Browns. He doesn't look that way against the Bears, does he?
I don't think he looks that great. And the really scary thing here is a rookie quarterback in his first game on the road. Now, granted, at least it's against the Bears. The Bears don't have the greatest secondary. Their front seven is decent. They're an average front seven as far as rushing defense is concerned. But the secondary is very questionable. So I think there's going to be some chances for Wentz here. But I don't feel comfortable enough to consider starting him.
No, I'm the same way. I do think you start Jordan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is interesting. Zach Ertz will not play on Sunday. On the Chicago Bears side, obviously you're starting Jay Cutler, you're starting Jeremy Langford. What about Kevin White? How do you feel about him?
That's a tricky one. I thought that Philadelphia's secondary actually played pretty well last week. Granted, it was against Griffin. But, you know, the secondary in Philadelphia isn't all that bad. They can be ran on. Their secondary is decent. So I'm not sure how I feel about Kevin White and Jay Cutler. I do like Alshon Jeffrey just because I think that guy is a really good receiver. And you brought up, just back to Philadelphia really quick, you brought up Jordan Matthews. Just in case people don't know, Jordan Matthews had 14 targets last week, which was double the next highest guy on the Eagles, and 114 yards and a touchdown. This matchup is favorable also for Jordan Matthews. I think Carson Wentz may have established his favorite player, which is the most talented wide receiver on the team. That helps. So just keep an eye on that one. But this game could kind of go either way. Do we see the struggles of a Carson Wentz rookie on the road for the first time and the Jay Cutler that we've seen fail? Or is it one of those games where those defenses that are suspect just fall apart and we have big plays? It's kind of a tricky one.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get right to it. Pitchkin, pick 'em. I'm taking the Bears. I don't believe in the rookie on the road.
I am also taking the Bears.
So that will do it. That is all 15 games you have left on the week to schedule. You got a few extra You Betcha challenges out there. Let's see if I can extend my 2-0 lead that I have this season. Definitely check out the W2MNet.com website for all of your fantasy rankings that, again, we put up on Wednesday. Maybe down the line we can find a better way to update that so we can continue to give you more fantasy news, more fantasy stats, and our opinions. Also check it out for all of everything else that you need football-wise, whether it comes to power rankings or college football information. We also a bunch of wrestling stuff is going up on the site. The game section is starting to get a little bit of steam as well. So a lot of information, a lot of great content as the W2MNet.com website continues to get its feet underneath it and grows into a wonderful website.
Yeah, and thanks again to EpicDesignLabs.com for getting that put up quickly so that we could get this information out there for people before the season started, and it will be growing as we go, so the website will only get better, but we have lots of great content for you guys to check out there. So yeah, by all means, go take a look at W2M.net.
Yeah, Epic Design Labs doing a great job listening to all of our suggestions and questions and working with us as we continue to change things as far as design look and how things work. So they've done a wonderful job with helping us make this thing grow. So shout out to them for sure. But for Mike and myself, I hope everyone enjoys their weekend. A huge college football slate on top of a wonderful fantasy football weekend. As always, we will be back Monday night to break it all down, talk about who got things right, who got things wrong, who are your waiver wire pickups, and everything in between. But until Monday, we hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you on the next podcast.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2MNet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.